His name's Engels here, so we're very excited about starting off, and we couldn't start off on a better foot than having Rav Azariah Berzon, who on a personal level was my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva. I was in Rav Berzon's here for 5 years, and Berzon told me a Derech HaLimud, which there's really nothing I could be more grateful for than that in life. Rav Berzon is a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. One of the recognized Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, not like the people that just go around and say the Talmidim. You know, we always know because a person never says he's a Talmud. But really one of the respected Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, and one of the Talmidim Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. And it's a real, real honor. Rav Berzon's been in many, many different places. Mali Adumim, when Mali Adumim started, and in Yeshiva Shalvim, and in Maseret Zion, and in Toronto, and in Brooklyn, and back in Yerushalayim, and MMY, spouses and alumnus. So we're really honored that Rav Berzon took the time to come to Mitzvah Yericho and to give our first year, and we're really thankful. So, please.
Thank you very much to Mishpacha Tolchowski and to everyone who joined us tonight and the whole Yishuv. Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh. And Adar is very unique, especially this year, of course, because it's a Shana Me'uberet. So we have two Adars. And when I was a youngster, there used to be a very famous television program, Will the Real Something Please Stand Up? So the subject of... What's my line? Okay, I don't remember. So Will the Real Adar Please Stand Up? So what we want to try to figure out tonight, Be'ezer Hashem, is which is the real Adar? Is it Adar Aleph or Adar Bet? Now this seems to be the subject of a machloket. Oh, thank you. In a Mishnah, which I want to start with, because you might ask the question, why is it relevant? Which Adar is Adar? And I'm hoping that your brains are all working on that question. You probably have a number of answers, but I'm gonna throw a curveball at you. And what's really important, and Shas spends a lot of time on this issue, is how to calculate years. When you write a date, for example, in a shtar, in a document, does the shtar have to say Adar Rishon? Does it have to say Adar Sheni? What if it's Adar Stav? Meaning there's no addition, you don't mention whether it's Rishon or Sheni. What is Adar? Now this is relevant to all sorts of laws and shtaros. Take for example, in the case of a get, or in the case of a shtar milve, of a loan, we have a psul, which invalidates the shtar, that's called muknam. So for example, if let's say the shtar was meant to say Adar Sheni on it, and it says Adar Stam, in other words, it doesn't qualify whether it's the first Adar or the second Adar, and since it was supposed to be Adar Sheni, if you leave out the word Sheni, then you have a problem, because actually the get, let's say, or the halva, the loan, took place in Adar Sheni, and now you wrote Adar Stam, which means that it's a shtar muktam. So let's take a look. Again, this is all very abstract, but I'll try to give it a little flesh and blood. This is a sugya nedarim. There are two major sugyas in Shas that deal with the question of which Adar is the real Adar. One is the sugya that we're going to learn in Nedarim, and the other is the sugya in Megillah. Who can guess what the sugya Megillah is about? When is Purim? Of course, is Purim in Adar Aleph or in Purim as in Adar Beis? And that too is Machlokas Tanoim. So now we're going to take a look at this brisa, which the Gemara quotes in Nedarim, and it's the first source in your page. I don't know how many of you enjoy seeing a text inside. If you don't, you can just listen bal peh. And the Gemara records the following machlokas. This is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Ador Rishon, Kosev Ador HaRishon. In other words, if the shtar is valid because the transaction took place in the first Adar, then it's not enough just to write Adar, which is called Adar Stam. You have to write Adar Rishon. Adar Sheni, on the other hand, if the transaction took place, whether it's the get or the shtar milve, in Adar Sheni, then you don't have to write Sheni. All you have to write is Adar Stam. Just write the word Adar. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Just the opposite is true. Adar HaRishon Kosev Stam. If you write Stam unqualified, then that's Adar Rishon. And if the transaction took place in Adar Sheni, then you have to write Adar Sheni. So we could perhaps suggest the following, that what's at stake here is to try to figure out what is the real Adar, which is the real Adar. And the difference is going to be if you leave out any description. If you hold that Adar Rishon is Adar, then if you see Adar in a Shtar Stam without qualification, then it's a reference to Adar Rishon. If on the other hand Adar Sheni is the real Adar, then if you leave out any description, then Adar means Adar Sheni. Okay then? So now, what happens over here? There's something called Ibur Hashanah, which means that if there's always going to be on every year a discrepancy between the solar calendar and the lunar calendar. When that discrepancy begins to accumulate over the course of 3 years, then on the average, every 4 years, we have to add an extra Adar. Now, the very moment I say that phrase, extra Adar, what does that sound like to you? Because I don't want to take sides in this machlokes, but I think I've already taken a side. Which is the real Adar if I add an Adar that's extra? The second one is the real Adar. Because what I'm saying to you is the following. I need to add an extra Adar in order to catch up with the number of years that we were missing, that discrepancy. So I need sort of like a buffer zone that's going to fluff it up, so that now I can get the Adar in its proper time. And which Adar is going to be in its proper time? Adar Sheni. So therefore we come to the conclusion that if we're saying that Adar Rishon is just an extra Adar in order to set up this discrepancy and work out the differences, then the real Adar becomes Adar Sheni. And what I want to show you here is the Levush. The Levush, who lived about 5 centuries ago, his name is Rav Mordechai Yaffa. You'll find this on the bottom of page 3. Oh, you don't have page 3 yet. Okay. Because I'm holding on to it to see if we get to it. But I'll just read you one line from page 3. He writes the following. Ein Adar Rishon Ela Tashlumin Lechadoshim Sha'avru Begimel Shonim Lahashmim Lahashlim Chod Shei Halavon Lechod Shei Achama. I'm going to read the key words again. Ein Adar Rishon Ela Tashlumin. It means to make up for the discrepancy of the previous 3 years. So what would you say? If Adar Aleph is Tashlumin, then which Adar is the real Adar? Adar Sheni. You follow me? Tashlumin means it's just a makeup. As I called it before, like a buffer zone. So we're going to push forward Adar Sheni so that Adar Sheni will be in its time. So it comes out that according to the Levush, in his logic, Adar Sheni is the real Adar. Now, who could bring me a proof to support the Levush?
Purim.
Because Purim is in Adar Sheni. So it would seem that Adar Sheni is the real Adar. But as we go along, you're going to see that that's not a proof at all. And on the contrary, we may come to the opposite conclusion that Adar Rishon is the real Purim month, and not Adar Sheni. Okay, so let's just again summarize what we're saying here. We're wondering which Adar is the real Adar. Is it the first one? You know, first come, first serve. We have a principle, for example, just using it with Saberta Ozen, called Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. You know, when you have a mitzvah, the first opportunity you have. So the first Adar is the first month of Adar. That's the real month of Adar. And then we'll make up the difference by adding an Adar Sheni. Or do we say, no, just the opposite. That Adar Sheni is the real Adar, and Adar Rishon is only Tashlum. And on this issue, we seem to have two major sources. One is the Levush, who seems to explicitly take the position that Adar Rishon is only a Tashlumin, and therefore the real Adar is Adar Sheni. But on the other hand, with regard to Shtaros, it seems like this is really a fundamental machlokas. What is Adar? If you just say the word Adar, and you write it in a Shtar, what is that Adar? So according to Rabbi Meir holds that if you didn't write anything, you didn't describe or qualify which Adar is it, then Adar Stam is Adar Sheni. And he seems to be assuming, like the Levush, that the real Adar is Adar Sheni, and Adar Rishon is only a Tashlumin. And therefore, you can't just call Adar Rishon Adar, because it's not Adar. And therefore, when you say Adar, according to Rabbi Meir, it means Adar Sheni. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says the exact opposite. Rabbi Yehuda says that in the case of Adar Rishon, you just call it Adar, and automatically we assume that that's the Adar is Adar Rishon. If you want to refer to the calendar date of Adar Sheni, then you have to qualify and you have to say Adar Sheni. So how do we paskin in this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? Let's take a look at a few different sources in Shulchan Aruch. We'll start with the Ramah. The Ramah says the following. Kishema'avrim es hashana kosvin bi'adar harishon adar stam. You don't have to qualify adar rishon. Ubisheni, but if the document is recording something that took place in adar sheni, then he's got to say adar sheni. So who is the Ramah accepting? He's accepting Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who identifies Adar Rishon as the real Adar, and therefore you don't have to qualify. If you use the word Adar, it automatically means Adar Rishon. If you want to mention Adar Sheni, because that's when the transaction took place, you have to specify Adar Sheni, which means that in this machlok shin Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the real Adar is Adar Rishon. That's against the Levush. Not only is it against the Levush, but it's also against our intuition, because Purim is going to be celebrated in Adar Sheni. Let's go on. Another case that the Gemara discusses.
The Ishtarot is very significant, because if you say you have to pay back within a year is 12 months, or within a year is...
Sandy, give me a few minutes just to, you know, get into it first, because I just want to show you how consistently we're going to accept Rabbi Yehuda, that when you say Adar Stam in a shtar, it's a reference to Adar Rishon. Okay? Take, for example, in Hilchas Gittin, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Im Hashanamu Uberet, Im Katav Bisheni Stam. In other words, he just wrote Adar, right? Stam. Then, if it was Bisheni, meaning the Gerishin, the divorce took place in Adar Sheni, and he wrote Adar Stam, then Adar Stam makes it into a Shtar Muknam, meaning it's possible, because which Adar is the Adar Stam? Adar Rishon. And here, the get took place in Adar Sheni, and he just wrote Adar Stam. And therefore, the get is possible. Again, paskining like Rabbi Yehuda. Take, for example, in Shtari Milva. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Choshen Mishpat in Hilchas Halva, Shtei Shtaros Shenasu B'Shodim Uberes. So now what happens is there are two people who borrowed money from the same Lova. So you have two Malvim and one Lova. So both Reuven and Shimon are coming to collect their Chov from Levi. He's the Lova. Lova's the borrower, right? Now Reuven and Shimon are fighting over who gets first dibs. Let's say there's only X amount of possessions to be had. So what happens is that both Reuven and Shimon come forward. Each one has a document based on that document wanting to collect the chov. So the Shulchan Aruch passage is like the following. Echad, one of the two documents says Adar Stam. The Echad kosev bo Adar Sheni. He says the following, that the only one who has rights to collect with his shtar is the one that says Adar Stam. Because Adar Stam is a reference to which Adar? Adar Rishon. And if Adar Rishon comes before Adar Sheni, then the Lover has to pay up his Chov from Adar Rishon, even at the expense of the Chov of Adar Sheni. So once again, we see time after time, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Poskim accept the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that the real Adar, you know, it's Adar Stam, if you don't qualify it, is Adar Rishon. This has a bearing in the Sugya Nedarim. A man takes a neder. He takes a vow that, let's say, he won't drink wine until Adar. Should we give him in a Shanah Mu'uberet an extra month to drink wine, or does he have to cease when he hits Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph? What would you say? He takes a vow, again, not to desist from drinking wine. I'm just giving an example. Up until Adar, what happens? Which Rosh Chodesh does he have to, you know, he has to go past Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph? All the way to the end of Adar Aleph, right? Or when he hits Adar Aleph, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, let's say tomorrow night, he's already allowed to drink wine. Well, based on everything we said now, what's going to be the answer?
Does it matter which one he meant originally?
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, you know, right? In the Dorm, we hakol holich achal aloshen, right? The nether is generated by his haflas peh, what we call his enunciation. So he said, I won't drink wine until Adar. So which Adar is he? Is In other words, if I assume the Adar Rishon is the real Adar, then he can drink wine after Rosh Chodesh Adar, meaning Adar Rishon. If on the other hand, the Adar Stam is Adar Sheni, then he's going to be enjoined from drinking wine until the end of Adar Rishon, until the beginning of Adar Sheni. Right? So anybody want to anticipate based on what we said in Shtaris? No? Nobody's with me? I hope I didn't lose you already. That's not good, right? Adar Rishon, right? Because we said that although the Levush says that Adar Rishon is not the real Adar, and intuitively we thought based on Purim that Adar Sheni is the real Adar, but here in all the laws that we studied in Shtaros, it's Adar Rishon that's the Adar. So take a look how the Shulchan Aruch codifies this. He says the following. He says, Omar, he declares, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, says the Shulchan Aruch, I added the word Osir Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. So when he took the Neder on Adar, he terminates his Neder on Adar Rishon, because Adar Rishon is the Stam Adar. It means that the second Adar is just the Tashlumin to catch up the years. But the real Adar is Adar Rishon. So how do we deal with this whole situation here? Because Purim is an Adar Sheni. Now, how do I know that Purim is Adar Sheni? Truth is, I don't know. We all assume that Purim is Adar Sheni. But for those who never learned Masechta Megillah, it might come as a shock to you that it's not at all simple that Purim is an Adar Sheni. Take a look at the sugya in Masechta Megillah on Daf Vav Amid Beis. I have it for you about two-thirds of the way down on the page. And it says the following. The Mishnah says that Karo es haMegillah b'Adar Rishon v'nis'abra hashana. So they read the Megillah, let's say on the 14th of Adar Rishon, and then they decided to make the Shana Mu'uberet, so they added a second Adar. Karo no sabadar sheni. So the Mishnah clearly maintains the opinion that Purim is an Adar Sheni. And therefore, the fact that he read the Megillah in Adar Rishon is not going to do it. It's not going to cut the mustard. He's going to have to read the Megillah again. And the Gemara says that that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamaliel. But Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Ein karno sab Adar Sheni. We don't read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. We read the Megillah in Adar Rishon. So the Gemara says the following. Bishneima Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Mistaber Taima. We always take the first opportunity. So if your two opportunities of celebrating Purim are the first Adar or the second, which one should we celebrate? Adar Aleph. And that's the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Elo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel my Taima. This is the famous Gemara. I hope you're all familiar with it. On Rabbi Tavi, Taima de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lemesmach Geul Geula Adif. Rashi says that we want to conjoin, so to speak, make contiguous the 2 months, the month of Geula with the month of Geula, the month of Purim with the month of Pesach. So which one of the two Adars is going to be contiguous to Purim, to Nisan? The second Adar. So therefore, the Gemara explains and justifies Rav Shimon Gamliel that Purim should be celebrated in the second Adar and Adar Sheni. Comes along the Trumas HaDeshem, he's quoted in the Magen Avraham, and he says the following. There's something very strange going on. Because on the one hand, all indications seem to lead us to the conclusion that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. So where does the Magen Avraham, in what context, does he quote the Trumas HaDeshem? Now, I'm going to talk about a topic that might not be so pleasant for everyone here. It's not relevant to me because my parents did not pass away in Adar, but anyone who lost a parent in Adar, and again, most of us who have what's called a Yahrzeit will not commemorate the Yahrzeit with a fast, but back in the day, that's exactly what they did, and that's called in the Lashon HaShas, Ki Yom Shemes Bo Aviv, on the day that his father died. That day is commemorated with a fast. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, would fast on a Yahrzeit. He would give shir on a Yahrzeit in memory of his wife, in memory of his brother, in memory of his father. He would start at about 8:39 in the morning, and he would go until the fast ended at about 5-6 in the afternoon. Fasting. And it didn't seem to affect him. But I don't have that minhag. But for those who do have that minhag, what happens in the following case? The parent died in Adar. Okay, now it's an Ibrayar, right? So we have two Adars. Which Adar is the Yahrzeit? So take a look on page 2. And you'll see sort of like indented in the middle of the page, a number one. That's the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchus Tainius. Kishe'ira yom shemespo avivo imo ba'adar v'ashana mu'beres yis'ane bi'adar sheni. So the Yahrzeit has to be commemorated in the second Adar. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Okay, the Ramah quotes a Yesh Omrim. And the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, the Yis'ane Berishon, that he should commemorate the Yahrzeit in the first Adar. Now, let's just try to see where the Magen Avraham is going to object here to the Shulchan Aruch. The Yesh Omrim in the Ramah makes a lot of sense. Because as we've said, and all the sources we quoted, with the exception of Megillah as far as Purim is concerned, but again, even in the case of Megillah, what was the Gemara's initial understanding? That we should commemorate Purim on the first Adar. The Gemara only rejects it for a different reason, as the Trumas Hadeshin points out. We'll get to that in just a minute. But up front, you know, at first glance, the Gemara thinks that the proper month for Purim should be Adar Rishon. But leave out the Gemara Megillah. Let's go back to the Gemara Nedarim that we started with. The Gemara Nedarim assumes that when you calculate Adar in a shtar and you want to mention and testify exactly when the transaction took place, then if you write Adar, it's a reference to Adar Rishon. Because that's the real Adar. And we saw this over and over again. A person takes a neder and he says, I won't drink wine until Adar. It means until Adar Rishon, because Adar Rishon is the real Adar. So with the exception of Purim, which we'll get back to in just a minute, it seems that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. Therefore, in a Yahrzeit, says the Ramah, the name of the Yesh Omrim, in the end of the Yesh Omrim, Yis'ane B'Rishon. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, no, he's going to have to fast on the second Adar. So if you take a look in the Magen Avraham, he tells you that this psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Yahrzeit is to be commemorated on Adar Sheni, is based on a comment of the Beit Yosef, right, the same author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo, and he writes that he thinks that we accept the position that Adar Sheni is the real Adar. So the Magen Avraham says that that's against what the Beit Yosef himself paskins in Yoredeya Simon Reish Chaf. Now let's see, where is Yoredeya Simon Reish Chaf? Well, you go back to page 1 and you'll see Yoredeya Simon Reish Chaf. And that's the case of a neder. The person took a neder and he enjoins himself from drinking wine up until Adar. He's allowed to drink wine after Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. So how could the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand say that the Yahrzeit is on Adar Bet, and yet with regard to Nedarim, he identifies the real Adar, the Stam Adar, as Adar Aleph? And this is the Magen Avraham's question. And in order to bolster his question, he quotes the Trumas Hadeshin. Now, I'm hoping you'll be able to find the Trumas Hadeshin here. It's abbreviated as Tof Hey. Okay, I try to bold it, you know, in big print. So it's on page 2. It's about 2/3 of the way down. And the Magen Avraham says the following. U'betrumas hadeshen mevi raya. The Trumas Hadeshin wants to bring a proof to establish that the Yahrzeit, like the Yesh Omrim in the Ramah, should be commemorated on Adar Rishon. And what's his proof? Midamrina b'perikamah de Megillah de Kriyas haMegillah b'sheni mishum de mismach geula legeula. The reason why we prefer celebrating Purim in Adar Sheni is because we want to get together the two geulos. That's the Adar geula and the Nisan geula, and that's adif. That's preferable. Says the Trumas Hadeshin, mashma de ilav haytaima. If you were only interested in purely deciding and defining which is the real Adar, Avdina Barishon, we would make Purim in the Rishon. So there's some extraneous, outstanding svara of Samchinan Geula Geula that postpones the celebration of Purim until Adar Sheni. But in the absence of that extraneous svara, if we go back to fundamentals and we ask the question, well, which is the Adar? The answer would be Adar Rishon. And therefore, when we get to a Yahrzeit, we should be commemorating the Yahrzeit in Adar Rishon. So what we have here is a fascinating presentation here, in which the bulk of the evidence seems to indicate that Adar Rishon is the real Adar in Shtaros, in Gittin, in Nidarim, now in Yartzeit, according to the Eish Omrim in the Ramah, and the Truma Sadeshin accepts the Shita of the Eish Omrim, even in the case of Purim, which seems to be the one exception, and there we shift the celebration of Purim from Adar Aleph to Adar Beis, even here says the Truma Sadeshin, that's only because of some extraneous Svara. But logically, certainly it should have been Adar Rishon. Now, I have here a line from the Pre-Chadash. And the Pre-Chadash wants to know the following. Listen to this. A boy was born in Adar. When is his bar mitzvah? Now this is not just relevant to making a nice bar mitzvah party. This is relevant to Doraisis, to real serious biblical laws. Because a gadol has a different status than a katan in halacha. For example, a gadol could be chayiv misa if he violates a capital punishment. A gadol could testify in a bezdin, even on a capital crime. A gadol could be mekadesh anisha, megarish, whatever it is. So basically, we have to come to grips with the following question. The boy was born in Adar. Is anybody here who's male and was born in Adar? I could ask the same question about female. Yeah? Okay. So, would it possibly be, again, this is already going to whittle it down to a small percentage, I doubt, but let's see, maybe I'll get lucky. Would it possibly be that your 13th year was in an Ivriyar? No, it wasn't. Okay, that's rare. So we're talking about someone...
Born on Derisha.
Oh, you were born in Ivriyar. Okay, we'll come back to your question in a minute. But let's talk about the following. The 13th year of this boy's life is a Shanama Uberet. I call it an Ibiyar. Does everybody know what that means? I mean, maybe I shouldn't use Yiddish. Again, if any Sfaradim in the audience, I have to apologize. But you know what? The phrase Ibiyar is so widely accepted, even the Sfaradim know what it means. Anyway, the Ibiyar. So now we have an Ibiyar. When is his bar mitzvah? Says the Pre-Chadosh, I'll quote to you, it's a one-liner, and he says the following. He says, Le'inyan bar mitzvah, li'olam azlinin basar adar rishon. Once again, it's absolutely convincing because we've seen over and over again that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. The Eish Omrim and the Truma Sadeshin accepts the Eish Omrim is that Yartzeit is in Adar Rishon. Purim says the Truma Sadeshin logically should have been in Adar Rishon. Every single indication that we have leads to the conclusion that the real Adar is Adar Rishon. Therefore, if a person is born in Adar and his 13th year coincides with an Ivriyar, he should become bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon, so says the Pre-Chadosh. Okay. There's a fascinating Yerushalmi, which you'll see on the bottom of page 1. The Yerushalmi asks the following question. Adar Rishon Tosefes or Adar Sheni Tosefes? The Yerushalmi vacillates back and forth on the following question. Which is the Tosefes? Which is the extra year that's just there to function in a secondary capacity to make sure that we can square off the lunar calendar with the solar calendar? Is it Adar Rishon that's the Tosefes? That's the way we saw in the Levush, if you remember. Or is it Adar Sheni that's the Tosefes, which means that Adar Rishon is the real Adar? And then Yerushalmi asks the question, Mai Beinayu? Meaning, what's the difference between the two? Mai Nafkamina? So the Yerushalmi gives a fascinating answer. We're talking about Kvasim. How do you call Kvasim in English?
Sheep.
Sheep. We're talking about sheep that are being brought on the Mizbeach. For example, twice a day we bring a carbon tamid. And on Shavuos we bring 7 sheep. So anyway, there are many, many dinim of kvasim on. Now the law is that the Torah requires what's called kvasim b'nei shana. In other words, if the keves is more than a year old, then it's disqualified. It's possible in Mizbeach. So the Yerushalmi says, what's an afkamina? Which Adar is the real Adar? Which one is the fake Adar, which is called the Tosefes? He says, "My beinayu, kvasim beinayu, nolad B'chamisha sar ba'adar b'shana she'ena muberes. So this keves was born on a regular year in Adar. V'nichnas l'shana shehi meuberes. And now the next year, meaning when the sheep reaches its first birthday, they made the year into a shana meuberet. Is the sheep still kosher past the 15th of Adar Rishon? Because now we have an Adar Sheni. And Yerushalmi says it all depends on which Adar is a Tosefes. If you say that Adar Rishon is a Tosefes, that means we can give the Keves an extra month and it's still Kashal and Mizbech. It's still B'nei Shana. It's still within its first year. If on the other hand, we're going to come to the conclusion that Adar Sheni is the Tosefes, and the real Adar is Adar Rishon, which we've tried to prove over and over again, then as soon as the Keves reaches Adar Rishon, then it's already a year old, and it can no longer be brought on the Mizbeach. So I was fascinated by this Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi tells you that this discussion about which Adar is the real Adar, which we said is relevant to Yahrzeit. Okay, Yahrzeit is not the biggest deal in the world, but it's relevant to Godless, it's relevant to Shtaros, it's relevant to Nedarim, and now add to that, it's also relevant to which Keves can be brought on the Mizbeach. It's not relevant, says the Jewish Hadeshin, to which Adar is the Adar to celebrate Purim in, because there we have another factor that comes to play, and that's Samchinon Geula Legula. Yeah, Edna.
No, because it makes a difference if you count a year, 12 months. Like if somebody is in Avelut, I had it. I was in Avelut, my father passed the Erev Pesach, and the year afterwards was Shana Meuberet.
Same issue.
Finish the Avelus the months before, right?
So that's what I would say. If you go with the Pre-Chadash...
Months, you don't count a year. You don't
right? If you go with the Pre-Chadash, remember we said that in the name of the Pre-Chadash, we had a new insight. The Pre-Chadash says that with regard to Bar Mitzvah, which Adar is going to be his Bar Mitzvah, Neshana Muberet, Adar Rishon. Because the Pre-Chadash is following the same line of reasoning as we saw in the Magen Avraham, and as we saw in the Trumas Hadeshen, that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. It means that the final Maskana in the Yerushalmi is that Adar Sheni is the Tosefes. That's the extra month. That's the tag on. But not like the Levush that we started with today, and the Levush says no, that Adar Rishon is just a buffer zone in order to extend or delay Adar Sheni, and Adar Sheni is the real Adar. Oh. So the question is, what's at stake here? You know, Rabbi Polchowski and I go back a long time, so we used to do what's called good old lumdus here. So I'm looking for something deeper below the surface. I mean, again, on a surface level, technically, you can get away with it. You know, you can just simply say, well, did Chazal, when they went ahead and they were Ma'abra the Shana, what did they do? Did they add an extra month as a buffer? Or did they add an extra month after that month? So which is the Ikar and which is the Tafel? Which is the Ikar month of Adar? Which is the Tosefes? That's on a superficial level. But I thought that maybe we could take this on a deeper level. Let's talk about a yard site. I think that's a good example. And then we'll see if we can apply this logic elsewhere. So we saw there's a machlokus between the Machaber and the Ramah in the name of the Yesh Omrim, about which Adar is the Yahrzeit. I want to introduce a concept here. If I had a blackboard, I'd write on the board here, called Seder Hazmanim. What do I mean by Seder Hazmanim? In English, perhaps I would translate it as progression of time. Progression of time means that there's some sequence of events, and I want to set up a time framework in order to capture, so to speak, a piece of time, meaning a progression of time. Then there's another definition. Let's leave out Seder Hazman. Let's talk about the Yom itself. The date, according to Halacha, of a month or a day in the month. Let me explain the difference. If we're dealing with Seder Azmanim, if we're dealing with the flow of time, then there's nothing inherently significant about the calendar date of a particular date. That day is only chosen because it's the culmination of a progression of time. Let me give you an example. You know, we have something in Halacha called Bein Hashmashot. I'll give you an example of Bein Hashmashot. It's sunset, we have what's called Shkiyas HaChama, and now we don't have Tzeis HaKochavim yet. What do you see on the horizon? Where you probably get a good view from here, right?
Yeah,
what do you see? The other way. What do you see after Shkia? Is it dark out? No, it's not dark out. That's called reflected light, correct? So there's still light on the horizon. The Pasuk in Bereishit says, V'lachoshech kara laila. Now, if lachoshech kara laila, then the day still continues to exist because, again, once the day starts a Seder Azmanim, then it continues until something stops that Seder Azman. What's going to stop the Seder Azman and terminate the day is going to be Choshech. And therefore, I would present to you the following thesis, that I have a strong argument in favor of saying that Bein HaShmashos is Yom. Why? Because since I have the light of the sun, I don't have Choshech, then in Seder Azman, in the progression of time, I'm still continuing the Yom. Okay. There's another way of understanding it. Let's take again this example of Bein HaShmashos. The Torah says, Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Echad. So we have something called Erev and Boker. We have Yom and Laila. Now if I wanted to find Yom and Laila, so the Torah says that there are two Ma'oros, Birakiya Shamayim. God created the Shemesh, and then there are the stars. And now what we're saying is that if, in order to define Yom as an entity unto itself, you need the Shemesh. Now, if you need the Shemesh, then when would Laila begin? With Shkia Sacham. Because as soon as there's no sun, it becomes Laila. So again, if I take Yom and Laila as two separate entities, in and of itself, each one in and of itself, then I would argue that once the Ma'ar, meaning Shemesh, the Chama is gone, then now it's Laila. Because what creates Yom? It's the Ma'ar Gadol. If the Ma'ar Gadol has disappeared off the face of the earth, it's below the horizon, then it's already Laila. If on the other hand I'm looking at a flow of time, a progression of time, then Yom continues even after the Shemesh goes down, because it's not yet Choshech. So I still have light out. Okay, let's see if we can apply it here. What is a yahrzeit? I want to offer two possible answers to this question. What is a yahrzeit? One possible answer is ki yom shemeis bo aviv, meaning I look at the day and I decide what is the calendar day. The other way of defining it is to say that a yahrzeit is a period of time. It's a year's sight, a year's period of time. Once a year goes by, that's when the yahrzeit is. So it's not dependent upon the actual calendar date, but rather on the passage of time. It's a Seder Azman. I'll give you a mashal of what I have in mind. Chazal say that this is not true for the real tzaddikim, the tzaddikim geburim, but for most of us, there's a period of judgment which lasts for 12 months. It's a very uncomfortable place where you go for those 12 months. But after those 12 months terminate, then the person goes up to Gan Eden, right? So what's the yahrzeit? I'm celebrating the yahrzeit, commemorating the passage of time. That's one way of understanding it. If it's the passage of time, then it's Seder Azmanim. The other way of saying a yahrzeit is that it's a halacha inherent in the calendar date. So I want to suggest the following. If we're talking about the end of a year, and that's what a yahrzeit is, then we're going to end up at Adar Rishon. Why? Because Adar Rishon is the end of a year. Correct? He died in Adar Rishon. There was only one Adar, let's say. And now I count 12 months. At the end of the 12-month period, it culminates in Adar Rishon. But if, on the other hand, I wanted to find the calendar date, so let's go back to the Levush that we started with. The Levush says that Adar Rishon is just a Tosefes. It's just a big pregnancy here to push the Adar Sheni down by a month. But really, the real month, as far as calendar is concerned, is Adar Sheni. Okay? So therefore, if the calendar adds an extra month, then although in real time the year terminated in Adar Rishon, but the calendar itself determines that the day is Adar Sheni. That's the calendar date. Adar Rishon is only, the Levush says, a Tosefes. Oh. So if this be the case, let's take a look at Gadlus. When does the boy become Bar Mitzvah? Are we just counting, are we just counting 13 years? Or are we looking for the calendar date on which he was born 13 years later? If we're saying that it's a matter of progression of time, then the Pre-Chodesh is absolutely right. At what point should he become Bar Mitzvah? In Adar Rishon. Because that's when he passed 12 years. But if you're going to talk about the calendar date itself, then if you take the Levush's perspective at least, that Adar Rishon is nothing more than a Tosefes, but the real Adar is Adar Sheni, then his calendar date of Gadlus is going to be an Adar Sheni. Now let's talk about Purim. Is Purim a matter of passage of time, or is it a calendar date? For example, if you talk about Yontif, so we have something called Kedushas Hazmanim. We have a calendar date, and that date itself inherently generates Kedusha. Is that the way we want to understand Purim? If that be the case, then which Adar would be the right date for Purim? Again, listen carefully. What I'm suggesting is the following. If you have Halach of Seder Hazmanim, and you're counting months that passed, or a year that passed, etc., etc., then Adar Rishon is going to be the valid one. And if you want to remember this, it's very easy to remember, because the Pre-Chodesh says that Gadlus is going to terminate, is going to be clinched with Adar Rishon, because 12 months have passed. Take that and add that to the Yud Aleph, the Yesh Omrim of the Ramah, as far as Yahrzeit is concerned, and the Yahrzeit is 12 months after the person's expiration date, right? After the Patira. So therefore, the Yahrzeit should be commemorated in Adar Aleph. Why? Because we're counting time. It's the progression of time. If, on the other hand, we're looking at a calendar date, then if we take again the Levush, that the first month of Adar is just a It's just to facilitate pushing Adar into its proper time period, then which is the proper time in the calendar year, Adar Sheni. And therefore it makes sense that in the case of Yahrzeit, if we assume Ki Yom Shemes Bo Aviv, that's inherent in a calendar date, it's not the passage of time, then the Yahrzeit should be commemorated in Adar Sheni.
Well, why would you need a limud for Purim and Adar Sheni then?
Oh, so now, l'chora, if we compare Purim to a Yontif, just like in a Yontif, we say Yontif is a calendar day, it's the 15th of Tishrei, the 15th of Nisan, or let's call it the 6th, I don't know if that's correct, the 6th of Sivan. So then it's inherent in a calendar day, then Purim is also a calendar day. And if that be the case, we understand, against the Truma Sadeshen, that Purim should be commemorated in Adar Sheni. Says the Truma Sadeshen, no, Purim should be commemorated in Adar Rishon. What conclusion do you have to draw? If my thesis is correct, we're going to have to say that Purim is not a din in the tarikh, in the calendar, but it's something about a passage of time. The Rambam opens up Hilchus Megillah and he writes, Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachonim. There is no real Zman for Purim. Purim is not a calendar date. I'll give you an example. If let's say the 14th of Adar coincides with Shabbos, we're not going to celebrate Purim on Shabbos because of the Gzeirah Derabbah, etc., etc. I'll give you another example. The Gemara says the Bnei HaKfarim who lived in the villages, they would celebrate Purim on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. So the Gemara asks, where's the source for such a thing? So the Gemara says, you know what? I don't need a source for Yud Gimel. Why? Because on the 13th of Adar was Yom Knisah LaKahal. In other words, the entire Jewish community got together on Yud Gimel. Now, exactly what they did on Yud Gimel is not clear. Some say that they were fasting. Others say that they went out to battle against Amalek. But in any event, that was a date that's very significant in the sequence of events that culminates in Purim. So take, for example, the Bnei HaAyoros, the Prozim, as we say, who I hear you celebrate Purim on the 14th? Yes. Okay. You know, that might change. You never know. You know, as the area gets filled up with Jews in Mirtz Hashem, right? But right now we're celebrating on the 14th, okay? But what about the Yishalmim? You know, they're living in the Krachim, Mukafas Chom, Mos Yeshuv and Nun. When are they going to have Purim? On the 15th. So when is Purim? And the Rambam says that you're not allowed to fast on either day of Purim, and the Bnei HaKfarim maybe can't fast even on your Aleph, your Beis, your Gimel. There's a whole balagan here. I'll tell you why. Because Purim is a progression of time. What makes Purim a progression of time? We start with the Gzer of Haman. Then we start with, and then we go on to 3 days of fasting. And then after the 3 days of fasting, Esther goes in to plead the case in front of Ahasuerus. And then we have the Nefilah of Haman. And then we have Gedulas Mordechai. And then we go out to battle against Amalek. And we knock off a whole bunch of Amalekim in Shushan. And then we kill Amalekim all over the 137 provinces. Then she asks for another day for the Shushan people. And they go out to battle a second day. It's a whole progression. So what we're doing is we're counting a progression of time. And if that be the case, then my claim is that in Hilchas Seder Azmanim, Adar Rishon is going to be the proper time for Purim. Just like we said in Gadlus, the Pri Chodesh says that the proper time for Gadlus is going to be an Adar Rishon. Just like we quoted the Ramah, the Yesh Omer, that the Yahrzeit should be commemorated 12 months after the Ptira, which means in Adar Rishon, it's a progression of time. And that's what we mean by Ein Overin Al HaMitzvos. I mean, Overin Al HaMitzvos means grab the first opportune moment. As soon as this progression of time comes to a termination, comes to a pinnacle, at that point you should celebrate the day. So it's not inherent in the calendar day. I'll give you another example. Let's take the example of Nedarim. The man says, I am enjoined from drinking wine until Chodesh Adar. Okay, is he interested in a calendar date or a period of time? Anybody? He's not interested in a calendar date. What does the calendar date mean anything to him? He just wants to say that for X number of months, during a period of time, a unit of time, he will abstain from drinking wine. Therefore, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that comes Adar Aleph, he has terminated his neder. But what about starts? Oh, we have to end? Just to give me an idea, how many more minutes do we have?
I have no idea.
So I wanted to add a little something at the end here. If in the case of Shtaros, we said the Shtaros have to indicate Adar Aleph. Why is that so? I mean, according to my thesis, a Shtar should be dependent upon the calendar date. And the calendar date is Adar Sheni. So I wanted to suggest the following. Because, let's say for example, you had, remember the case I had where he lent money to two Malvin, correct? So now, what's going to happen is, there's a period of time, a clump of time, in which the Shibud, the lien on this loan, is going to allow the Baal Chov to collect the Chov. So now, when did that period of time end? So we're talking about a unit of time, and a unit of time is going to end on either Rishon. It's not a din in the calendar date. Because as far as the calendar date is concerned, we're going to accept the Levush, and it means that the first Adar is nothing more than a Tosefes, and the real calendar date is on the second. Okay. I know we're running short on time, so I just want to share with you, I don't know how many of you have this Sefer HaTodah, you can get it in English, at Rel Yo Kitov, it's a wonderful Sefer. And he has what's called for Chodesh Adar Mazal Dagim. So he makes 3 points here about why Adar is the Mazal of Dagim. Point number one, he says that the Dagim are Parim V'Ravim. There's a special bracha for the fish because they're below water. There's no Ayin Hara Sholetis for him. And therefore, there's something special about the bracha of Chodesh Adar. That's his first understanding. The second understanding is that the Dagim live in the water. And we too, the Jewish people, live in water. What's water? Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Torah is our oxygen. Without the water, as Rabbi Akiva said, we're lost. And his third explanation, which I find absolutely fascinating, is that the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu specifically for the Bnei Rachel, that means Yosef, Ephraim, and Asher, is the Yidgula Rov Bekerev Haaretz. And this bracha, the Yidgula Rov Bekerev Haaretz, is specifically earmarked for the descendants of Rachel. And that's why, when it comes to Purim, which is in Chodesh Adar, I'm not going to discuss which one of the two Adars right now, right? But when Purim and Adar is Mordechai. Mordechai is Ish Yemini. He comes from Shevet Binyamin. He is the descendant of Rachel. What is it about Dagim that is so special? Ein Ayin HaRosh Oletes Bohem. We see things with our eyes. And often, too often, we judge things on a very surface level. What I call chitzoniyut or externalities. The dagim are below surface. The dagim represent looking a little bit deeper and try to discover something that's tsanua. Take, for example, Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu is the paradigm of tzniut. She's the paradigm of shtika, of silence. She's willing to take a backstage, secondary role and give it all to her sister Leah. This is the modesty of a person who could have taken it all for herself, and instead she shares it with her sister. This is the midah of tzniut, of modesty, of ein ayin hara sholetes bahem, because it's below the surface. Torah is like mayim because Torah has to be understood on so many different levels. And more often than not, the first impression when you learn Torah is not the right one. There's always something deeper and more profound. Rav Eliyahu Kitov quotes a chazal, I don't know where it is, and the question they ask is why of all the mazolos that we have, there's only one that's in the plural, and that's dagim. And if you'll ask me, what about Tishrei, which is maznayim, he says that that's what it's called. Scales have two parts to it, and therefore it's called maznayim. Or for example, there's a month that has ta'omim, because if you have two twins, it's got to be in plural. But in the case of dagim, there's one object called a dag. Why is it dagim? He says a beautiful idea. He says that the plural of dagim is reflective of the fact that there are two adars. This is the only month that can be duplicated and have two parts to it. And he says, you might think that Adar Aleph does not have, is not endowed with that special, special bracha that Mazel called dagim, because Adar Aleph is only a tosefes. It's only to set up the real Adar of Adar Bet. Kamash Malon. That the mazel of this 2-month period is dagim, and Adar Aleph is in no way inferior to Adar Beis. And if we take the Levush that we started with, we have a beautiful, beautiful idea. The Levush says that Adar Aleph is only there to make up for the previous 3 years and to set up the real Adar, which is Adar Sheni. And if we accept both the Levush and what it says here in the Sefer HaTodah, Adar Rishon would take a back seat. Because Adar Rishon is only there as a facilitator. Adar Rishon is only there to give all the glory to Adar Sheni. And you would say, therefore, that if there's a mazel called Dagim, let's bestow that mazel, that great bracha, on Adar Sheni. No! Adar Rishon is no less important than Adar Sheni. And I say that as tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh. You know, Rosh Chodesh is a women's holiday. Because Chazal say, Gemara Bavli Katan, that the women didn't participate in the Chet Egel. They were given Rosh Chodesh. And there are women, I don't know anybody that fits this category, who don't do Malach on Rosh Chodesh, right? So whatever mitzvah you have on Rosh Chodesh, the women grabbed it. And you talk about Yisachar and Zvulun, and Chazal say that Yisachar and Zvulun are equal partners. Even though, as far as Torah is concerned, Zvulun is just a facilitator. Zvulun is there to make it possible for Yisachar to dedicate himself to the study of Torah, to the transmission of Torah. And yet, Zvulun is on the same level as Yisachar. And Rachel is willing to take a back seat and give it all to Leah. And that means that how great is someone who doesn't necessarily boast, who doesn't show you the chitzonius, but rather is in a very concealed, humble way, personifies the mid of tzniut, the mid of ein ayin harashal letis b'hen, to play a secondary role, kaviyachol, to facilitate someone else who's going to be great, who's going to be in the limelight. Like we said about Zvul, and we could say it about Adar Rishon. Now, Adar Rishon is a great month, and it doesn't fall short of the month of Adar Sheni. It's all part of one whole, one entity, because Adar Rishon sets up Adar Sheni. And in that sense, I want to leave you with this idea. We should all be zochim Ritz Hashem to get together, and this is a wonderful program for many occasions of learning Torah. We should all get together for smachot. We should enter into this two-month period with the endowment of this beautiful, beautiful mazel of dogim. I want to be mevarech everyone. We should be zochim to see Yeshuos, Nechamos, Briut, and Nachas during this period of time. Keni Ratzon. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.